AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
All righty. How much is that doggy in the window? How much is that doctor in the seat there? Good morning, doctor. How you doing there from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of the program? Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. Rolling around.
Good morning, Jack.
There we go. We're all here in the county.
Good morning, everybody. So I guess we're in business.
Yeah. How was the fog out there on Lone Street?
It's foggy.
Yeah, it's bad. It comes and goes, though. So it's like super foggy and then it's gone. And then it's super foggy and it's gone.
So far, it's been super foggy.
Really?
Where I've been. Okay. I'm looking for the it's gone. I haven't found it.
Well, just as we continue to urge our listeners, as we have all morning long, allow extra time and drive carefully because you probably will encounter some of that fog and or the rain that is along with it, too. You know, I wanted to ask you something, Dr. Dean, before we get into your particular topic here. Maybe we've talked about this before, but I saw a factoid over the weekend, just kind of wanted to run it by you, that during the pandemic, okay, more than 23 million U.S. households, almost one in five of us in households, took in a pet during the pandemic. The share of households with at least one dog jumped from 38% to 45%. Before leveling off last year, cat ownership went from 25% to 29%. So there was an uptick for sure in the number of pet adoptions. I was just wondering if you saw a similar sort of bulge or perhaps tweak in the number of clients that you saw in the last two or three years, too, because of that. Did you see a reflection of that?
Yes. I didn't know the statistics until you said that, but we definitely felt like that was going on.
Has it leveled off, do you think, like the article says, or is it just still remains kind of high?
I don't know, because I don't know how much of the change that saw in how many animals we were seeing, or I guess what I probably should say is in the demand was from that and how much and what other factors were. For example, it seemed like maybe there was also the factor of a lot of people, a very large number of people were working from home.
Yeah.
Some of them still are now, actually.
Yeah. Hello.
So that what we felt like might be happening was that since they're at home, they're paying more attention to the pets and they've got more time to bring them in. So some of them did.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that some of those workers still are working at home, that may still be going on. So I think there's a lot of factors involved in, in the change. I don't really know what the adoption figures are, whether that's changed or not.
Yeah, right. That would be more with the shelters and this sort of thing, too. But I was just curious, saw that factoid and wanted to run it by you there, and apparently it trends across the country, man, I guess around the world as well, too. So
what
that
is
was
a
my
factoid?
Question.
How's that different from a
kind of like an asteroid, but a fact?
But not like a hemorrhoid.
No, way different. Yeah.
Okay. Moving forward on AM 910 WJCW.
We really didn't get anywhere with that.
Yeah, I know, right?
What did you bring us this morning, Dr. Dean?
Well, you know, last 2 weeks we talked about colon disease in dogs and cats, respectively. So while we're on the intestine, because we're certainly not in the intestine. Like Jonah was. Well, this really a foggy morning, isn't it?
A little bit.
I thought maybe we would work up to the small intestine because there are some important medical diseases of the small intestine.
Which one is like super, like miles and miles long? Is that small intestine?
Small intestine, although I'm pretty sure it's not miles.
Well, that's what I was told as a child, so I believe it to this day.
But feet long, yeah.
Okay.
And the reason is that the intestine, the small intestine, is responsible for absorbing nutrients.
Okay.
So you have to have a lot of surface area for all that nutrition to be absorbed. So as a result, that's the largest, I shouldn't say largest, it's the longest portion of the intestine. Hmm. Remember when we talked last 2 weeks about colon, what we said, that's really a good question to lead into that, was that the colon was responsible for reabsorbing water.
Right.
Because the ingesta, that's the term we use to describe food and water and all that mix before it turns into feces, is very watery in the small intestine, and then small intestine absorbs nutrients out of it, which is easier to do if that's liquid, can't absorb solid very well. So that by the time that gets completed and that ingested gets to the large intestine, it's got too much fluid, So the large intestine absorbs the water out of it so that when they don't have diarrhea all the time.
Right.
And
right.
We went over that. Now, don't have diarrhea all the time. Diarrhea is more commonly because of a problem with the small intestine than it is with the large intestine.
How so?
Although, let's say this before I answer your question. Although it can happen with either. So, how so is that, first of all, remember that the contents of the small intestine are very watery already.
Right.
Right. So, if there's a problem with small intestinal function, or there's inflammation, or it's not absorbing correctly, or any of the above, then it may be that the ingester that's moving out of the small intestine in the large intestine is either not in a condition so that just removing the water can keep it from being diarrhea, or it's just moving so fast that the colon can't slow it down and get the fluid absorbed, which is usually what we see. Meaning
right.
The colon is supposed to be there to absorb the water, but if it's not able to do it and you've got all that contraction of the small intestine, which is normal, it just bypasses it and comes out as diarrhea.
So is there a surplus of fluid coming from the small intestine to the large, or is the large not functioning well in order to be able to scoop out the water that is in what has been sent to it?
Well, there's already a lot of water in it. The problem
right.
is the small intestine is not processing it correctly
okay.
and is sending it out quicker than it normally does with more fluid than it normally does.
By saying not processing it properly, you mean the absorption of the minerals and nutrients?
Of nutrients yeah. from it. As mm-hmm. a result, even though it is fluidy compared to fecal material, it's a lot more liquid and a lot more fluid when you're having diarrhea. Okay.
Is it generally set that in a normal functioning system that it will sit there in the large intestine and more or less both reduce the amount of water and begin to coalesce? Is that what happens?
Yeah, well, those two things go together.
Yeah, well, sure.
Okay. Because if there's less fluid, then it's not so hard for it to coalesce.
Got it. Absolutely. Okay.
All right, so what happens in the small intestine is, as you said, the small intestine absorbs nutrients. That's where most of the absorption, by far the largest portion of the absorption of nutrients mm-hmm. in the body occurs.
Now, how is that distributed to the body then at that point?
Well,
the nutrients.
It's absorbed through the wall of the intestine
mm-hmm.
into the blood supply.
Okay.
And there it goes. Now,
I got
there
it.
Is okay. One asterisk here, and that is most of this absorptive material actually goes through a vessel called the portal vein to the liver so that toxic material can be absorbed out of it.
Wow.
And then from the liver, it goes into the general circulation to be used for whatever nutritional purpose it has. Right.
Okay.
Does that make
okay.
sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a condition called a portosystemic shunt that occurs in puppies. It could occur in kittens. It's pretty rare. And it probably occurs in infant people. I'm sure it does. Where when they're born, the normal mechanism of the portal vein taking the blood to the liver is not the anatomy that's there, and the portal vein takes the blood directly into the systemic circulation and bypasses the liver.
That sounds like that's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing. It causes some really severe medical problems. One of them is that, I'll give you an example, protein, of course, is a nutrient. Protein, all protein contains nitrogen. So in the process of the protein being metabolized, the nitrogen changes into ammonia, and then ammonia changes into urea so it can be peed out.
Right.
Well,
okay.
that happens in the liver. So if there's a portosystemic shunt, then you get an increase in amount of circulating ammonia in the blood because the liver doesn't have a chance to detoxify it, and those puppies have seizures or have really weird mentation. They don't grow well. I mean, it's not a good, depending on the, I mean, there's a lot of variation in that, but depending on the individual case, they really have tough go of it.
Can you spot that early on? I realize it's kind of difficult probably.
Well, it depends on the individual case, and they don't all have the same symptoms, but if they are, acting very unusual, if they're having seizures and their blood glucose is normal, because sometimes puppies their blood sugar is low, and if they in particular act abnormal neurologically otherwise, like act drunk or stumble a lot, or sometimes they vomit, do things they shouldn't be doing, then it doesn't tell you that's what the problem is, but you got to go look.
Well, certainly a good indicator of something's wrong. Go ahead, Alex.
Let me ask you this question, and I'm sure it is a question that a lot of new puppy owners have. Why do their little paws smell like corn chips?
Well, if it's a really, really strong smell, it's because there's too much yeast growing on the skin. There's a normal yeast on the body of dogs called Malassezia, and it's typically only really a skin problem because it overgrows in the ear. That's, or I should say that, not typically, but that's the most common presentation. But that organism can also overgrow on other places in the body, and if it's really bad and they're itchy and they're red, it's because you got too much of it. Now, I don't know that the smell you're talking about happens more in puppies than it does in adults, but that's probably why it's there. But some of that yeast is normal. If you get too much of it, you get an infection.
Then you head into Doritos and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, well, Doritos is just a brand of corn chip, isn't it?
Oh, well, you know, it's got the nacho cheese smell, so. Because I was going to, my friend had a dog, and she says, you know, his little feet smell like little corn chips. And I'm like, well, is it time to hide the corn chips?
You know, that's a subjective thing. It may not be an abnormality at all.
Right.
But in some
animals, I enjoy it.
Just as long as you don't eat his feet.
Right.
Yeah, that too. No milk on the puppy's feet. Okay.
So I hadn't really meant to do the program on portosystemic shunts, but that's okay. And since we're into that, let's just go ahead with it. The way to diagnose this problem is, first of all, you usually have to see a specialist to do advanced imaging to be able to show that the vessels are not set up the way they're supposed to. However, it's pretty common that because of the fact that the liver is involved in this, they may have abnormal liver enzymes if you do blood tests on them. But it's not unusual for puppies that have this problem to actually have normal liver enzymes, but if you do specific liver function tests, such as blood ammonia level or bile acids, they'll be abnormally high. That doesn't diagnose the problem, but it really raises the level of suspicion if they're already having symptoms. And then the next step is to get them somewhere where it can be diagnosed and surgically repaired.
Yeah. So once you've seen that, you, like you said, you know, got to go to the next step there and find out what is involved, and as you said, whether surgery might be indicated too. Yeah, it was a departure from what I think we were going to be talking about, but I found it fascinating, and I think our listeners probably got a lot of information from it.
Well, it's a really important problem, and it's not something that most people think about, because unless you're a veterinarian, you certainly don't think about that.
Right.
You know, it's not common, but it's not rare. I mean, it is something that we run into occasionally, and it's kind of one of those things you got to jump through the hoops to figure out whether it's there or not.
I'm right. Well, that's why we have you join us, Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. They are located at 4340 North Rhone Street in the Boone Street community of Johnson City. Open 6 days a week, except for major holidays, Monday through Saturday. Dr. Dean, how do folks get in touch with you?
Well, it's too foggy to send smoke signals today, so I guess I have to use a telephone, which is 282-3771.
There you go. That's the way to connect with the doctor and all the good people at his clinic, Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. Thanks for joining us, Doc. We'll talk to you next week.